I believe if you've got a notice sheet, you may well have seen the title of this message this morning. I believe it says something like preparing for retirement. So my question to you all this morning is, are you ready to retire? What preparations have you got in place? Now, some of you might think that's a bit of a strange question coming from me, but there's something about me that some of you may not know. This year, in April, I celebrated, well, maybe celebrated isn't quite the right word, I participated in my 30th birthday. And something else you might not be able to see from that distance, that's why we have pulpits a long way away, is that my hair is starting to fall out. I was going to say something about a family tradition here, but I hope my dad wouldn't be offended by that, so I won't say anything about that. And also, one of the other things that's happening to me is I'm changing in another way. When we went back to Bulgaria this year, in fact, every time I go back to Bulgaria, all the people turn to me and say, "Don't you look well?" I think it would probably be simpler if they just came out with it straight out, said, "Aren't you getting fat?" Well, even so, all these things aside, why do we need to start thinking about retirement at 30? Or some of you here might even be slightly younger than me. Well, in these days, we need to plan ahead. If you don't plan for retirement when you're young, then you're not going to have anything when you get to retirement ages. I don't know if you've heard, you probably have, but pension schemes all over this country are closing. They're running at a deficit. I think my pension scheme owes itself several million pounds. I don't know what that means if I retire. I expect it means that I actually have to start paying my company money to retire. So the point is, if we don't prepare for our retirement, then we may well become quite unstuck when we get to retirement age. So why am I talking about preparing for retirement? Surely I'm not going to talk to you about whether a final salary pension scheme or an investment pension scheme is better. I'm certainly not qualified to talk to you about that. I'm also not going to talk to you about the benefit of investing in property versus a pension scheme. No, what I actually want to talk to you about tonight is whether you've got a pension plan in place for when you leave this life. You see, there's one thing in life that's certain, and that's not that you're going to retire. The way they keep raising the pension age, I hear it's going to move to 70. I'm not sure that anybody is going to retire by the time I get to that age. But what is certain is that 100% of us are going to retire from this world at some time or another. And we're all going to have vastly different pension ages. So have you prepared for retirement? What kind of pension plan do you have in place? Now, we're going to look this morning at two different kinds of pension plans. First, I've called the Big Barn pension plan, and the second is the Treasure in Heaven pension plan. I won't seek to give you abbreviations because I'll just get confused. But before we start to look at this in more detail, let's come before God and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, and that it divides our hearts, Lord. And Lord God, we thank you that your word touches us and changes us. Lord, we pray that you would come upon us by your Spirit this morning. And we pray that you would teach us what you want us to learn. And we pray that you would challenge us and build us up and help us to know what your plans are that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at is the Big Barn Pension Scheme. So what is the Big Barn Pension Scheme? Well, basically, you gather up as many possessions as you can, you make as much money as you can, and you build a barn to put it all in. That may seem a slightly bizarre pension scheme, but it's one that we're told about a man having in the passage that we read earlier on. In Luke chapter 12, we read, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry."'" This man had had a particularly good year. The vast lands that he owned had brought forth a massive harvest. But instead of looking on the bright side of life, this brought to the man a problem. What was he going to do? He had so many crops, he didn't have anywhere to store them. So he came to the solution. "I'm going to build for myself bigger barns. I'm going to store all this crop, and I'm going to live off of this for the rest of my life. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to make merry." But there was, shall we say, a fatal flaw in his plan. You see, the man had counted on having many years to live off of this earnings. He thought that he'd done enough. It was his work, it was his crops, and it was his future plan. I don't know if you noticed when we read, he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. I will store up my grain." He thought that he was the only person that mattered, and he'd forgotten about God. He thought that he was going to live forever, or if not forever, for enough time to enjoy all the crops that he had stored up. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." This man's whole life had been a waste because he'd focused on the here and now and he'd forgotten about God. So I wonder, what about you? What kind of a pension plan have you got? Have you got the Big Barn pension plan? Are you counting on accumulating enough to live on for the rest of your life? And are you counting on having a very long life to enjoy it? Now, I think we'd all acknowledge there are too many examples around the world of how short life is. Life is like a puff of breath on a cold morning. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Now you see it, now you don't. And if we watch the news, which is sometimes quite a depressing thing to do, we see stories repeated over and over again of people going about their lives, going to their businesses, going out one morning, and not returning home. I think we can learn a lot from the tragedy that's going on still to this day in New Orleans. It's not the kind of thing that you'd expect in the developed world. It's not the kind of thing that you'd expect to happen in America. Those people had not planned on this happening. And in the same way, we can't count on having a long life. We don't know how many years or days or even hours we have left. And not only this, the Bible tells us that the Lord is returning soon, and the day is not known to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'Peace and safety,' destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." The Lord is returning soon. He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you prepared? And what are you living for? Are you living for this world as though this is everything there is? I want to ask you, I want to plead with you, get a better pension plan. You see, you can store up money in big barns or in banks or in whatever else you're going to trust in. But this is not going to help you in the end. But thank God there is a better way. And we come to my second pension plan, which I've called the Treasure in Heaven plan. Verse 21, Jesus says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." There is an alternative to storing up riches here, and that is to be rich towards God. In other words, don't store up your riches in big barns, store up your treasure in heaven. So how do we do this? How do we be rich towards God? How do we store up treasure in heaven? Well, the first thing that Jesus says is, do not worry. That's in verse 22. Now, I have to say, I find this possibly one of the toughest commandments. And I find it one of the commandments that all of us fail at so often. But this is actually serious. Worrying is a sin. I'm not saying that trying to condemn people here, because I'm probably the world's worst worrier. But if we want to live a victorious Christian life, then we must not be worriers. But why is it so serious? Why does it matter at the end of the day if we worry? After all, we're just concerned, we're just planning, we're just considering all eventualities. But I think the problem with worrying is the centre of worrying, or the real essence of what worrying means. You see, when we worry, we're saying, "Lord, I don't really believe that you're in control. Not really. I don't really believe that you care." Jesus gives us two examples. He talks to us about the ravens, the birds of the air. They don't farm. They don't go out and produce their own crops and food. And yet their Father in heaven cares for them. And they still have what to eat. Jesus tells us about the lilies of the field. He tells us of how much more beautiful they are than the best clothes that you could possibly have. And yet the lilies of the field don't wake up in the morning and say, "Right, I better make myself a nice dress." How much more valuable are we than the birds to God? How much more valuable are we to God than the flowers that are going to fade away, that are going to die? And what's more, worrying is not going to make you live any longer. So what should we do instead of worrying? We need to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. The main reason I believe that we do not need to worry is because when we are thinking about what we're going to eat next or what we're going to drink, we are setting our heart on something other than the Lord. Verse 29, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Now, I think I have to be quite careful here when I say, do not worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. I'm not trying to say to you, let go and let God. I'm not saying to you, don't worry and don't work. The Lord's going to provide for you after all. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, in chapter 3, verse 10, those that do not work should not eat. The message to not worry is not a message to not work. It's not a message to not do anything in this life. But it's a message to not set our hearts upon these things. It's a message to not be consumed by them. This life is temporary. I was trying to think of how we could phrase this life. And I think it's a bit like a working holiday, if I can call this life a holiday. It's a bit like going abroad and travelling around and doing work so that we can live. We're travellers in this world. We're not here permanently. This isn't the end. So secondly, if we want to store up treasure in heaven, we need to seek God's kingdom. Verse 31, seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. You can live for yourself, or you can live for God. The choice is yours. But if you want to store up treasure in heaven, then we are commanded to seek first God's kingdom. And that's about a lot of things. It's about spending time with God in prayer. It's about praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it's also about working to see God's kingdom established in this land. God's kingdom will be established as we spread the good news of Jesus Christ, as we tell people of their need of a Saviour, as we focus upon building up our fellow believers. What else do we need to do? How else can we store up treasure in heaven? Do not be afraid. Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. How often are we afraid to let go of things in this world? What are we holding on for? Why are we seeking after this world so much? God has promised us a kingdom. He's promised us an eternity with him. He's promised that we can be amongst those bowing down before the throne and worshipping the Lamb that we read about at the beginning of this service. And he's also promised us that the Lord has given us this. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we deserve. But the Father was pleased to give us the kingdom. So why be afraid? Fourthly, give it up. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. If we are to live for heaven, if our treasure is truly to be in heaven, then we must be prepared to give away the fading things of this world. If we have riches, then we don't want to be like the man who kept it all for himself, the man who stored it in barns. You see, he had more than he needed, and yet instead of distributing it to the poor, instead of giving away what he did not need, he put it all in a barn that could so easily have burnt down. He put it in a barn where insects or animals could have got in and eaten and destroyed the food. Give it up. In conclusion, I believe that the only sure and certain pension plan that we can have is to store up treasures in heaven. It's by living for God and not living for self. So if this pension plan, this greater and better pension plan, is to store up treasures in heaven, how is it that you join the pension plan? As I said back at the beginning, there are an awful lot of pension plans that are closing down so that new members can't join them. But this one is still open to us. Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We don't know how long this option will be available to us. But we have this opportunity now to come to the Lord and to be saved. So how much does it cost to join the pension scheme? Pension scheme costs that are going up as well. And yet this is a pension scheme that we can join for free. And the reason is, the price has been paid. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away the punishment that we deserved. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us so that we could freely come into his kingdom. Please, don't leave it any longer. Give your life to Jesus. Well, how do you do that? I want you to remember three words. And those three words are sorry, thank you, and please. You must pray to God. You must say that you are sorry for all the things that you've done wrong. You must thank him for Jesus' death on the cross for you. And you must ask him to please forgive you and to welcome you into his kingdom. Please give your life to Jesus Christ. Please do it. Because who knows when God is going to say to you, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded." Don't waste this opportunity as the rich man did. So where is your treasure? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." What are you thinking about most? What is your aim and goal in life? What is your heart's desire? We are called by Jesus to store up our treasure in heaven, and not to store up our treasure in big barns that will be destroyed.